Adam and Eve thought they could do it. Cain thought he could do it. Jonah thought he could do it also. These all had something in common. Do we know what it is? Do we have something in common with them? Oh, I hope not. Let's turn over to Genesis 3. We'll start with Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, verse 8 through 12. This is just after they sewed up themselves some clothing. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. In case you don't know, that's the first clue right there. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." So right there's a bunch of lies right in there, and that's and trying to hide from God is not a good thing. And if we read on, which we won't, we know the consequences that they face and the consequences for all humanity. So in sins, it's not just the people involved in this, directly involved, it's people around you. You can involve people around you. And we can see that in Jonah. We'll get to him in a minute. But the next example is Cain. A little bit different, but he still tried to hide something from God. We'll start in verse 9. 4 and verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel your brother?" He says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Don't really think you want to answer God like that. That's not a good thing. And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Couldn't hide that from God. And verse 11, "So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you." So we can see living a sinful life, even one sin, that one sin against God, can have some very severe consequences. Let's turn over to Jonah and take a look at his little mistake. We'll start in 2, verse 3. No, we'll start in 1. 1, verse 3. There we go. Okay, he's just received instructions from God to go and preach to Nineveh, and he didn't want any part of that. So Jonah arose, verse 3, arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And we know his consequences. He got eaten by a fish. And then he prayed pretty hard. He thought he was going to die in that belly of that fish. And he really prayed and repented. And then he ended up preaching in Nineveh anyway. They all thought they could hide from God. We all know by now that we can't do that. in this day and age, knowing what we know, having God's Spirit, if we don't know that, then we better get on our knees and pray for understanding. It's impossible to hide from God. And if we look in Hebrews, a couple of examples in Hebrews 4, verse 13. I got a slow Bible too. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. All things are naked to God. And verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. It's not only that he can see what we do, we are going to end up giving account for what we do. The consequences from trying to hide sin from God are pretty severe, as we can see. One that I find quite discomforting is, and we'll find in Isaiah 59, and we'll read verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated from you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Continued sin will turn God's face from us, and he will not hear. Without repentance, we will end up losing. We'll end up losing his spirit and life. He is there for us. If we look at verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He's telling these people that I'm here. All you have to do is call on me. Call on me for help. And we go through things in life that, you know, sometimes we may think that our way of being saved from this and is a good way. And this is where we have to wait on God, and he'll open up the doors for us. His ways are always the good way. Sometimes we may not think that, but it is. It always works out. We have to always be in tune to knowing God's will for us. We have to stay very close, especially in times of trials and adversities. Sometimes these things can blind us, and we don't see what God is trying to tell us, and end up losing patience. Take things in our own hands, and some tragic things can happen. And one way is not to quench the Spirit. You find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We don't have to turn there. We know this one. Always draw on the Spirit. Keep it active. This is our connection. If we don't keep it active, it'll go stale. And things will get harder and harder. This is our lifeline to God. We have to really stay in tune, especially in these times coming. Right now, it's not too bad. We're all having a really good time at the feast. So when we get back, and then the years come, move on, we see things in the news, we really have to stay in tune. And the most important thing is understanding God, understanding what he's telling us. We can't rely on people own interpretations. It's always relying on God for our deliverance. There are things, though, that does please God that we can do in secret, and that's praying to him. This is where we make our personal connection to him. This is where our relationship grows, and we depend on him, and he can depend on us to call on him. In Matthew 6:6, we're instructed to pray in secret, in the secret place. Let's go ahead and turn over there. Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So we know God sees everything. I mean, he wants to see us in secret praying to him. He doesn't want to see us trying to hide lies and hide from him. My Bible has commentary in it. It's a, Mr. Harris calls it my magic Bible. In the commentary of Adam and Eve, it explains they once had this relationship or this fellowship that was perfect, and nothing could compare to it. It was a perfect relationship they had, and then it turned into a relationship of fear and terror. They hid in terror. They were really scared of God. They knew what they did. We can't live that way. I'm sure none of us do. You know, it's sometimes it can be pretty scary facing things in the world. I mean, we will face some ugly things. Doing good to others. We turn back to Matthew 6 and 2 through 4. Therefore, when you do charitable deeds or a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. There are people out there like that. There are people that give so they can be noticed. They can be recognized. They can be hallowed, however they think. And God doesn't look on that very, very well. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to give with love, the same love that he has for us. And this is more relationship with God, unlike the world has. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows everything. We look at Isaiah. This in that quote down Isaiah 59. No, that's okay. We're done with that one. Okay, moving on. He knows our thoughts and he knows everything we do. It may sound like a bad thing. It may sound kind of got to watch walking on eggshell kind of a thing, but it's really not. If he knows everything, he also knows every tear we've shed. He knows our hearts. He knows that we want the same things he does. There are a lot of evil people out there, and sometimes it says, yeah, I can't wait till God takes care of that. It's really sad. It's sad what they do. It's sad what they're doing to themselves. The world today, and I don't know, for some reason it seems really prevalent where I'm at. Lies are part of everyday life. I see people lie and blatant lies with witnesses around them, catch them in the lie, and then they lie about it, and it's nothing. It's just a part of life. Moving on, they move on to another lie. And it's the dealings with people is if you don't like it, too bad. You're the ones that are not complying with the world. And it's very sad that, and it's hard. It's hard to cope with these kind of things sometimes because we know what's right and we want it here. We know it's in the future. And it's something that can't compare to this world. The future will be a great place, and we'll have part of that. And we're all who God has called. We may be a little different here and there, but he called us all. We may be a small group, but we're us.
kind of like that flower arrangement. It's that little pretty purple one. Kind of reminds me of Rob a little bit there. But we're all, you know, by themselves. Yeah, it's a nice looking flower. It's pretty. When we're all arranged together as one big beautiful thing, I kind of think of like a, not that I sew quilts, but I know how they're made. And they're all pieces put together. Some quilts, and they're a really big thing up in New England, you know, there's a lot of quilt shops and stuff. And some are just really pretty artwork. Some are family quilts, family tree quilts. And they're all little pieces from people's family members' lives, all put together to make this one big, beautiful thing, this quilt. Kind of reminds me of us. It's a good little analogy. But in Matthew 7, verse 19, we all know that, you know, any tree producing bad fruit goes into the fire. But our help is there. We don't have to worry about that. God does know our hearts, and if we are sincere or not, all we have to do is knock, seek, ask. Matthew 7, verse 7. We'll go ahead and read that one. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. God's help is right there. It's going to keep getting worse and worse, and we see that, we know that. What we have ahead of us is not just to look forward to, you know, what we're going to be doing, what our position is, but it's getting there. We have to concentrate on getting there and always relying on God, finding His will, understanding it, and performing it. Taking what He has to give us. Ask, seek, knock.